here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo and Addy. It's freaking freezing in here.
Yes, I apologize. It's cold. Very cold. My furnace died. No, wait. Doug Furnace died.
Ah.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Yes.
Uncomfortable.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, sad to... sad news with the passing of Doug Furness, probably best known in all Japan pro wrestling, but in North America.
Well, I wouldn't say he's best known for his WWE run, even though, but he would have had his most success overseas in Japan.
Okay, but I guess he was in ECW. He was also in like territories in Tennessee and yeah, such that way. So
one of the strongest men to ever compete in a wrestling ring. He was it was kind of around the Attitude Era, just before the Attitude Era, just kind of when that was taking off, that he and Little Fawn showed up and Dan Crawford, yeah, showed up in WWE, and they were a hell of a tag team that apparently had no charisma.
Well, they got the boring gimmick, right?
They got the boring gimmick. Have you noticed that the boring gimmick is a...
it always works.
And not only does it always work, and they still use it. Mm-hmm. It is a product of the Attitude Era. Somebody would have been given the boring gimmick even in 1985, and certainly not 1975, right? I mean, it's kind of a product of the Attitude Era, and I hate that gimmick.
Oh, yeah, it's awful, but... Getting back, I mean, you look at there's a No Way Out pay-per-view in February, I guess, in 97, where it's Davey Boy and Owen against Furnace and LaFon. And, of course, Phil LaFon, Dan Crawford, the only one still alive.
Yeah.
In that, I understand he was suffering from Parkinson's as he was, as before he passed. So
Doug Furnace was?
Doug Furnace was, yeah.
Was So
his health was shaky before, so, you know, who knows.
His health was shaky, was it?
It was.
Accident? I hope that was not on purpose.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. But no, our condolences to friends and family, and, it's just another one. Another one gone too soon.
In his mid-40s or something like that?
Mid-40s, I believe, yeah. So, another one gone too soon, so...
But yes, go in and watch some of his matches in Japan. Everybody wants to do it, or watch his match. He had a match with they debuted at the same Survivor Series
as
The Rock.
They did, yeah.
And so their match, they had a great. They were great in their tag team match.
And Flash Funk,
and also their debut there. The Survivor Series was awesome in that match. With then against Owen and Davey is a tremendous match, so people can track that down on YouTube. But, so as we move on from that, we're about 2 minutes and 37 seconds in. You want to wrap it up?
We're 3 minutes in, actually, so it's too late.
Oh.
I don't think... Did anything happen this week?
Yes.
Oh.
Unlike last week, where we talked for over 2 hours and when nothing had happened.
Oh. So... What happened?
Well, I guess let's open up with talk Raw. Do you want to get the shit out of the way on the matches that we seem to be coming out of SmackDown, and then talk the good stuff on Raw?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Because we already had a shit thing with Doug Furnace passing. So let's have a shit thing with the fact that at WrestleMania, it now appears that Randy Orton is going to be wrestling Kane.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think Kane is going to get revenge he's going to get revenge for losing to Undertaker. Orton is at Mania. Is that the gimmick?
I believe
by tagging his brother. Is that
the gimmick is shit?
Yeah, the gimmick is shit. No, it's you know what, they had to find a place for these guys. I said to you before, I predicted that we were looking at Ryder and Kane, and then I said that with that last bump Ryder took, I thought he'd be out and it'd be the following pay-per-view.
Well, Ryder said
we'll see Ryder and Kane.
Ryder has said that he is off to Boston to begin the road to Ryder Mania. That was his latest tweet.
Yeah, he's not going to have a match, though. I don't believe he's going to have a match. Perhaps he'll be on Teddy Long's team. He has some history there.
He used to be his assistant.
Yeah,
and Laurinaitis did the, kind of fucked him around. So
and maybe they just figured that Kane, and where does he play into all this and everything, you know, and that. It could just be some sort of verbal confrontation between Ryder And even that we see, that I wouldn't be surprised if that's it, because he's not ready to have a match.
Too bad. It's actually too bad that he's doing creative for TNA, because I would love to see Ryder and Eve on the Brother Love show.
Hell, fuck, we still should.
We still should, actually.
What the hell? Doesn't have to be.
Ric Flair's going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
Brother
right.
Love could go on the four, on the, or, yeah, I guess it'd be too morbid to have them on the funeral parlor. Piper's Pit?
That would work.
The Ryder and Eve?
That would work. Something like that. I mean, Ryder probably won't have a match or something like
pit.
That. But, so, I mean, as far as Orton versus Kane, I mean, two,
the Heartbreak
upper mid-card main event type pod, and had to find a spot for them, and probably a 10-minute match, and whatever, it worked.
Rio's Roundup?
I'm not paying to see it.
No, that was Pritchard again.
But I am, I'm not paying to see it, but...
The King's Court.
I am thinking that possibly, you know, I mean, it's, whatever, it's a match on Mania, and it's better than watching the women's match.
The Flower Shop, no.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, whatever, I'm nonplussed about the idea, but I'm not upset over the idea of it.
Roger's Corner? No, he's dead, too.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not also expecting it to like a five-star classic.
I'm totally out of interest.
Didn't Johnny Polo have one? I was waiting for that.
Yeah, did he?
And then there was Cutting Edge. You forgot about that
Cutting Edge, yes, and the highlight reel.
The highlight reel. I was waiting for you, and then Polo, or Cabanas. Cabasso, or what was it? Carlito's Cabasso, or
Peep Show.
The Peep Show, Carlito. What did Carlito have?
The MVP
Cabana?
Lounge, yeah, the Carlito's Cabana. Yeah,
fucking way to fuck it up. We could have kept that joke going for a while.
Yeah, but I only did
the at the end of the day, yeah, look for a two-star match where you can go get some food.
Oh, that's brutal. That's fucking brutal.
Well, whatever, they had a behind the place. I mean, whatever. And I can't really think of a feud or a match that they've had in the past that sticks out, so.
It just... I don't know. I do feel bad for Orton in that, you know, as I said, I mean, he was going along, and it just seemed like in the fall when he was, you know, doing...
He's in a holding pattern right now.
Well, when he was doing those jobs, though, in the fall, that it was all sort of set for, you know, Rumbles, you remember, well, Rumbles in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know, he goes over in his hometown.
Yeah.
And then... you know, that builds the Mania back up to beating Henry back again.
Yeah.
Right? And then Henry gets hurt. They lose confidence in Henry. Apparently Henry's contract is almost up as well.
Yeah.
So they're kind of playing that as well. But, you know, all those things happen, and here we are now with they've left Randy Orton kind of holding the bag, and... You know, with
Kane. Okay, when you put it that way, here's what we're saying essentially. And I never thought I'd hear this. But Rio does nothing for Randy Orton.
I know.
Especially it means.
Also, they changed their plan.
Well, that's what you do say.
Oh. But no, I mean, it just seems odd that. You know, Randy Orton, you know, his stock has really dropped, I guess. You know, you think
I don't think his stock has dropped. I don't think it has. I think it's more that they didn't know that Daniel Bryan would do so damn good. And they wanted to give somebody, they didn't want everybody knowing who was going to win the Rumble, so they tried to give it a little bit of a swerve, and Sheamus benefited from that. And I don't think it has anything to do with Randy Orton. Time comes when Randy Orton will be again, you know.
To me, this is like the equivalent of like at WrestleMania.
I mean, maybe he was going to face Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett also hurt. I mean,
there's precedent, but I mean, WrestleMania 6 when you know when Randy Savage you know was in that mixed tag, you know, a year after being against Hogan, right?
And then Randy Savage by WrestleMania 8 was in the semi-main event, and by you know, it's not like he didn't go on.
That's right. Well, that's right. I'm just saying. I just said his stock is. His drop.
You know, in many ways, he was in the most anticipated match of Mania 7 and the best match.
Yeah.
Warrior, so, I mean, I don't think his stock is dropped.
And the most anticipated in 6, too, because Sapphire was wrestling. Anyway. But, we've got...
I literally had nothing. Very little time that you actually shut me up with something so stupid you said.
That's true.
And that was one.
Yeah, after. I'm writing it down, actually, because...
We're going to go watch that on YouTube after?
I don't want to use that again.
Well, other people are watching Hart and Smith against LaFawn and Furnace. We'll be watching Sapphire wrestle.
Sweet Sapphire. Anyway, the other match at WrestleMania announced Cody Rhodes against The Big Show.
Yeah, good.
I like this.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I've kind of heard people complaining about this, and I'm not quite sure why.
Well, you're building it smartly. I mean, the way that, Cody is such an annoying prick and needling the Giant, and giving Big Show a guy he can beat and get the title, but it doesn't really make Cody look bad, but it gives kind of gives Show a moment at Mania where he looks strong and actually wins a match. And
well, to be for the Intercontinental title,
yeah,
right? So that's giving, I think, that title a little bit of kind of a bump as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually going to be defended at Mania, unlike
defended at Mania and
unlike
I mean,
the U.S. title.
The Big Show, multiple time, you know, heavyweight champion, right?
Yeah.
And now going with the Intercontinental. I remember when Flair beat Conan for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
I think it was even the same Bash at the Beach that NWO formed, right? And I thought, oh yeah, okay, that gives it some, you know, a bump, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I don't know.
Well, what about when Flair in the WWE, well, 6-7 years ago, whatever it was, there 8 years ago, when
beat Carlito.
He had, he had the Intercontinental title, and then he feuded with Triple H, and he defended it against. Oh wait, no, those were non-title matches.
No wait, yes, that's
because Hunter wouldn't beat him for the title.
No, because
no.
He's...
wouldn't want to do that.
No. But yeah. I do like the fact that this is happening. Obviously, Shaq.
That's the big news coming out of it for me, is Shaq said he was there, now he's not. I'm thinking, do you think it's the Shaq and Show now at SummerSlam? Well, that makes more sense. Los Angeles. I mean, he lives in Los Angeles, I do believe, still.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I mean, his tie with the Lakers.
Yeah.
If they need something for that, I mean, you already got The Rock, so what the hell's the point of Shaq here?
Well, you know what, to me, this Shaq...
SummerSlam needs something, because
I'm not even thinking about SummerSlam.
No, I am, because just SummerSlam as a straight event, last few years, has been doing worse and worse and worse. It's been a while, but in the past, we have seen celebrities or big names brought in for SummerSlam, and it's popped the rate, popped the buy, so it's time to do that again.
Well, I just think that... the only reason, to me, the reason...
It's the WrestleMania in the summer, dude.
No, but the reason Shaq isn't there is because there's no network, right? Their whole thing was the network was going to go the same day as Mania, and they wanted as many eyes on the product as possible so they could promote this network, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the network's not happening, right? It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You
how
know,
many
they,
buys would he add on top of The Rock if he was there?
Well, they're not... I'm not talking about buys.
But, I mean, how many would he add? Answer the fucking question.
10.
No, seriously.
15. I don't know. Not that many.
Probably, I think, more than that.
Not that
but not
many.
Necessarily enough to, not necessarily no, enough to
but,
to cover his expenses.
Well, and again, it's that's fine.
Then again, there has
if
to be there, times when
you're, but, no, fuck. If you're plugging the network... Shaq can be a loss leader. That's fine. They don't care.
Actually, at Mania, on occasion, they have the entire WrestleMania has been a loss leader for them at times. And it's okay. I mean, if it leads to a bigger idea.
It does.
Promoting the product and the brand.
And that involves, a Hall of Fame induction this year. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But I think that if, again, now they're saying November, right, is their next targeting date, right? So I think then maybe you're looking at SummerSlam to if they're going to go
push on
the network,
is,
right?
Addy, the problem with this is that in November 2027, when this launches, that Shaq will be too old to really be able to go in the ring.
I don't know that we'll see it. I mean, it also depends on The Rock. Is The Rock going to wrestle at SummerSlam?
But even 2-3 weeks ago, he was saying it. Now, Shaq is known to be one of those guys who likes to screw with people and just amuse himself, and he might have heard the rumors because he does watch the product, and he might have just been doing it for fun and fucking with people because that is part of his personality. But I think it's more likely, I'm hoping SummerSlam, I think that's a good idea, at least. That's what I would do.
I don't care. It's just as good. I like Cody and Big Show now.
I do,
that
too.
They've been going that way, and it's worked out well. And if Shaq comes in, great. If he doesn't come in, it's probably not going to matter.
It'll matter for SummerSlam, is what I'm saying.
Not if you got The Rock.
Well, I don't think The Rock's wrestling at SummerSlam.
Well, that's the thing.
And you know what? Even if The Rock does wrestle at SummerSlam, I do think it matters because that first match means the most. And after that, there's a law of diminishing returns every single time. A certain percentage that it goes down. and fuck you. And so having Shaq in there to bolster those numbers won't hurt.
Well, again, I'm not saying it's going to hurt. I'm just saying I don't think it really matters. I think if you could do one or the other, and if you do both, great. That's your law of diminishing returns when you've got both of them. Do you need both of them? No.
Well, again, let's talk about mania buys. Originally we were thinking easily over a million, and then you're going, no, not even close worldwide, right? And when I said to you, I still thought it was going to do that 1.1 to 1.2. I was assuming it was Rock and Shaq. Without Shaq, well, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more after we talk about the Rock Cena confrontation later. But
I'm in that 1.1 range. I mean, we move into the Royal Rumble buy rates that just come out, and they were sitting at 272,000 domestic, which is down from last year 281. And 234 worldwide, down from 276 worldwide. So down slightly, but you know, I'll say flat, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So that's probably a good
sign. I'd be willing to bet
actually.
To tell you the truth, I'd be willing, if you look at the percentage that a lot of the pay-per-views are down, that's not much. And I'd be willing to bet there's probably as many people watching it, just as many people, just more people this year watching it from alternative methods than last year. That also is part of it.
Well, yeah, but I don't care.
Oh, I don't care. I'm just saying, though, that I don't think you can measure it saying there was less interest in the Rumble this year.
But, yeah, I don't give a shit if there's less interest. It's all about money. So less money was made in the Rumble, right? Or less people purchased the show is what we're going to say, right?
Yes, but what I'm going to say is that I don't think you can say the product is necessary. The interest in it wasn't down, which means that the interest for Mania isn't necessarily down, or at this point from 1 year ago.
So?
That's all I was saying, Dick Weed.
I'm just saying that...
I know. And a lot of those people that didn't pay this year that might have watched it through alternative methods probably aren't going to watch WrestleMania and pay for it either.
That's what I mean.
So I agree with you.
The numbers
are
the
same. But I'm just saying that,
apples to apples.
Yeah.
So it's relatively flat. So... And when we're looking at again, the fact that Rock is coming in to wrestle his first match, yeah, I think maybe 1.1 would
well,
sit
let's
at this
let's
point.
Talk about this a little more. Like I say, I want to get into this a little further after we talk about the that'll be probably the main event of our show, talking about the main event of Raw. But let's move on. What else do you have coming out of SmackDown or anything else you have coming out? Say the Rumble buys. Well, it'll be really interesting to see what the buys are for Elimination Chamber, but also, I'm trying to remember, what was the 1 year ago? There was the 40-man Royal Rumble.
Yes.
We knew there were some surprises that we were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of had a good idea what that was. That did push some late buys, I believe. You were one of them, knowing that Nash and Booker T were likely going to show up.
Yeah.
And what were the matches? I remember Edge versus Dolph Ziggler, but what was the other title match?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Was Cena versus someone?
Probably.
Yeah. The point is that this year, I think that the title matches and the Rumble itself and the way it was promoted actually also could be why, if it's flat, considering it didn't have the 40-man hook, we didn't know who was coming in, I don't think there was as much buzz around it as there was a year ago. So the fact that it did very close to the same numbers is a good sign.
I don't think there was as much buzz around the Rumble. I think there was the title matches had more, but as I said, I couldn't even tell you... what it would be, who was the...
Well, is Miz the champion yet?
Yeah, he had to have been. Because he beat Orton in that table match in the December when Alex Riley put Orton through a table. And then he beat Morrison, right?
Yeah.
In just the first one of the new year.
Yeah.
So he would have been...
We were assuming it was going to be Morrison versus Miz, and then they had that on Raw instead.
That's right, and then Jerry Lawler got the February one, so I don't remember what the stopgap was in there for the Rumble. But
it could very well have been Orton.
Like
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it could have very. Yeah,
I think it probably was
Orton. Big Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, just a whole, you know, the fact that it's flat. When we've seen a lot of decline or strong decline, you know, it's just a good and the Survivor Series was up because of The Rock, you know. So,
Yeah, I think it's probably at least not trending poorly for how many
worldwide.
But trending worldwide right now.
Right now.
Royal Rumble buy rate. What was that?
Mo is fat.
Well, that wasn't what you put down as the hashtag.
No. There was one.
It was Mo is a fat fuck. And if you guys could get that to trend worldwide, I think that'd be awesome.
I think it would be meaningless.
Yeah, I think all things trending on Twitter are meaningless.
You know,
I still would think it's funny.
Yes. But Rumble aside, we'll sort of move now over to Mania. Actually, let me hit a couple things, and we'll talk a little bit of WrestleMania after. I just wanted to talk quickly. Kayfabe Commentaries is going to interview our good friend, Vinny Roux.
Well, they're going to interview Vince Russo, actually. And we're going to see if our good friend, Vinny Roux, can pose a question to him.
Maybe. We're going to see.
We're going to see if we can get that done.
I'm going to be very interested in that. It should at least be entertaining.
I think it should. I don't think it will be, because I've seen what Vince Russo interviews are like,
yeah.
And they're a lot like the Vinny Roux ones.
I know.
He loves everybody. Everybody, you know, he's got nothing bad to say about anybody, and he's just so full of shit and such a prick, and he just...
Well, the problem with those things, at least the problem with the Dixie Carter...
He loves
one,
everybody. Well, I'm not talking about Dixie. No.
The problem with
Russo. He just listened to him on a...
It's a Kayfabe Commentaries live you shoot, okay?
Yeah.
They've only ever done one, and it was Dixie Carter. And I'm saying this is the same deal, because the problem with Dixie Carter's one was the fact that as much as everybody... that all the keyboard warriors come out.
Yeah.
And say, I'm going to bury her, and I'm going to call her a cunt, and I'm going to do all this stuff, and then they get in front of her, and it's like, oh, hello, Miss Carter, you're looking very lovely today. I know people say that the buy rates are plummeting, but they're probably not. What would you say to that, though,
yeah,
from those people that say that, right? And then fucking Bill Apter comes out, and acts like he's really important. Oh, hi, it's Bill Apter. Oh, hi, I'm Bill Apter. You know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, remember? After Mags, you've heard of them?
1986, they're sort of big.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's 2012. So I'm sure he'll do that too, and Russo will, hello, Bill, all that bullshit. And so I don't know. I don't necessarily have high hopes for it, but I think I'll probably be entertained because...
Well, one of the things about was they were able to, with a couple of those video questions on the Cornette one with Dixie, was they kind of did ambush her in a couple of those situations. I don't think you're going to be able to do that, because now Russo's going to know what to expect. So there was a couple times where she was a little flustered, and I don't think
Jim Cornette will ask a question.
But I think the only...
And he will call him a fuck, and he'd tell him that he'd come down there and write him a letter, but he'd get the FBI after him or something.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe that's what Vinny Roux should do. I think Vinny Roux might have the best chance of actually flustering him, which I would hope. But, are we watching it? Fuck yeah.
Oh, we will watch it, yeah.
Do I have high hopes? Are we purchasing it? But we will watch
I'll
it.
Purchase it. Very good. You got to support.
Well, you don't want to support Kayfabe Commentaries, and we generally do. So, what else you got on there?
Well, what else do I got on here? Brian Kendrick.
Who?
Brian Kendrick, released from Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
Yeah, he was a bust there.
Saying that, well, this is actually a two-pronged sort of news item, I guess. He's saying that he's kicked his pot habit.
Bullshit.
So he doesn't smoke pot anymore. And he's interested in, there's interest in him coming back to WWE.
Bullshit.
One of the things, and this is foot four, is one of the things that they're looking to film for their new network when they get the thing, is a cruiserweight show.
Bullshit.
And so that's what he would be brought in for.
Bullshit.
Is the thing. What do you think about that?
I couldn't even get it out.
That's what she said.
Bullshit.
Who knows? But that's the story making the rounds anyway. And speaking of cruiserweights, with TNA, leaving TNA, Shannon Moore...
He was a bust there, though. I was just saying this about Kendrick. So he was.
Yes.
His character didn't work. He was poorly booked. And combination of him not succeeding when he had opportunity and them not using him well, both parties, he was a total bust there.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
But, the character just never took.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Both parties are responsible, but it's no big loss. Though again, another blow to the X division, which barely exists.
Yeah, I mean his work is good, but yeah, the case of the.
But his work wasn't as good as it was in the WWE, and his character wasn't as interesting as the character he was as the Brian Kendricks in the WWE.
That's right.
And they never brought in Paul London and put him on a tag team, which is what I was always hoping.
Yeah.
I was hoping to see him in London against the Beer Money and
if,
Motor City Machine Guns and all that type of shit. Was my hope.
So. Only if that mascot owl could be their manager.
Yeah, that's a little obscure, but freaking awesome.
It was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, staying with the X Division, TNA, Shannon Moore.
Yes.
Also, taking a step back, leaving the wrestling to open up a second tattoo parlor, second ink shop.
Well, I'm sure he makes more money on his tattoo parlors than he does in working for TNA.
I'm sure he makes more money recycling his empties.
That he does
working for DNA.
Well, if you're recycling empties, you don't quite qualify for food stamps.
Well, he knows the Hardys, so he makes a lot more recycling his empties.
Yeah, probably. So there you go, Ink completely done. Again, another tag team gun, another X Division guy. But then again, it's TNA, so I don't really give a shit.
No.
You had every intention to watch Impact this week. You told me you taped it.
I didn't. I just did other stuff. I put it in it's on my PBR still. I haven't erased it. I just haven't seen it yet. And here it is Sunday. And then I'm going to watch Raw on Monday and get on with my life. And I probably won't get a chance.
You have better things to do? Watch your
hair. I work on Saturdays, and so my weekend is Sunday, Monday. So there always is, tomorrow afternoon. If I get a little bit of time, I might check it out.
Okay.
Who knows? But
you're a brave, brave man.
Yeah, I know.
I still just thought,
Also, another news item here, Adam Cole in the iPay-per-view today, and the Briscoes had interest expressed by WWE to them, what were unable to sign, blocked, I guess, from signing because of their ROH contracts.
If they have interest in them, it is just a matter of time. Till they do sign them. I mean, they're not locked up for life.
That's right.
I don't think the Briscoes would succeed in the WWE, but it would be interesting if they brought them in, and they also have the Kings of Wrestling there, and who knows, maybe it could be a revitalization. We saw a few signs on Monday Night Raw that there's a little bit of interest being put into the tag team titles and into the tag team division, and then Kane came out and destroyed everyone.
That's right.
So maybe that's what it is. I would have thought the Briscoes in a tag team division on a national stage would have been better off with TNA if they could get a spot there. But tell you the truth, I just think their personalities and style and the chicken farmer and all that, they don't live their gimmick. They are that gimmick. I'm not sure they'd fit in very well in either company. I think that ROH at least lets them be who they are.
Well, but do you bring them in, though, as second generation? The spawn.
No, I don't think so.
Of Eli and Jacob, the Blues brothers.
No, okay, that's who you're going with?
Yeah.
With Uncle Zebediah. Then it works. Then it works, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go with Gerald Briscoe.
No?
That'd be the other thing, is they'd get a new name. Not that that really matters, obviously, but...
Yeah. What are the names that they gave Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero?
Claudio Castagnoli is Antonio Cesar.
Yeah.
Not Chavez. Hero is Cassius Ohno.
That's it, yeah.
And it's because it's a KO is what they're going with, and because he's got the loaded elbow gimmick still.
Ah.
So he's KOing people with the elbow.
Ah.
And so the thing is, and it's his gimmick, and when he debuted his interview, was it takes anybody can tap someone out. It takes a real man to knock someone out. So that's his thing. They're playing up on the KO. So,
we'll see. We'll see. But if Briscoe, and what about Cole? To tell you the truth, off the top of my head, I can't even. Because we don't watch an awful lot of ROH.
He could come and he could come and sell me Girl Guide cookies, and I wouldn't know it's him.
No. You wouldn't notice a guy dressed as a Girl Guide?
No, not in this neighborhood.
Ah, you gotta be careful with your golden crusted studios here.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
You really do. What a,
But, so that's a little bit of ROH talk there. Wanted to get in, he said I just could call him Jamie A. because I asked him if I did well with his last name, and he just said to refer to him that way. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
We had a little bit of a discussion. I'd like to get your thoughts as well, because it was something I never really thought, but there's a couple options. Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay. Guest commentator.
Yeah.
Someone to be able to sort of put the brutality of it all over.
Okay.
Jamie had mentioned... Shawn Michaels.
I like that.
Being I guess, I also thought Mick Foley.
I think one thing you have to keep in mind when you watch that match from last year with Triple H and Undertaker, and one of the reasons why I think it is so good, keep in mind who was doing play-by-play. It was JR.
Yes.
He's not doing it this year.
No.
So
that we know of.
He's not doing it this year.
That we know of.
He's not doing it this year.
Really?
So, that we know of.
Okay. No, he's not, Mo. Jesus.
But I think a guy. Well, I'm just like Mitt Romney. But anyways, I think that's a great idea. I think those guys, either one of those guys, would.
Mitt.
His name's Mitt.
Oh, his name. Who are we talking about now?
Fit. Are we talking about Fit Finley?
I just like Mitt.
Fit tends to...
Your mom's like, Mitt.
My mom's Mitt? Fits like a glove, does it?
Warm.
Let me tell you that a man walks into a doctor's office and pulls down his pants and he has 5 feet penises and the doctor goes, oh my God, how do your pants fit? And he says, like a glove.
Hmm. Is this a friend of yours?
What the fuck are we talking about again? Oh, yeah, HBK.
Guest commentator for Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, no,
HBK or
I think both of them. Foley is experienced as a commentator. He's really good at it.
Sean.
I was going to say, Sean's only done it a few times, but every time he's done it, it's awesome.
No, Sean, in 1995 or so, Sean was like the regular, was a pretty regular co-host of Monday Night Raw with
Vince
McMahon.
Was doing it right. He was doing it, and he was pretty good at it, and he was high at the time.
Yes.
So imagine what he'd be like now.
High. But no, that's... I mean,
and he was really fucked up at the time, but was good at it. So he'd probably be even better now.
Yes.
I think I like the idea of both of that, and I think that would help that match, especially without JR there. And JR's not going to be calling that match.
No. That you know of. But I think that... so either one. Those are great ideas. I never thought of a guest... commentator spot, but it would get them on there. Is it, the only reason I think Foley, because again, I think Sean might be involved, you know, in that kind of storyline.
We'll find
out tomorrow.
Ideally for me, is Sean is involved in the storyline. And why else would he be there tomorrow? And Foley's helping call it. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So.
Or maybe Foley can actually help call every match, and we can get rid of Booker.
Why? Love Booker.
That's true. Did you hear I was on, I don't know if you've seen this on YouTube, where he was doing, they edited this off, but this was a Raw, or it was a live SmackDown feed before they edited it off, and he's it's Daniel Bryan or something like that, he calls him the N-word.
No, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
They had to edit it off.
That's awesome.
It's on YouTube.
Daniel Bryan and Hulk Hogan.
That's the second, I think it was Daniel Bryan. It's like the second time he's
Hulk
done that.
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
I'm coming after you.
N-word. That was awesome. YouTube, Booker T and the N-word, and just laugh. And other than that, we never use that word.
Why?
I don't know.
Would you?
I don't know.
Oh.
Seriously, why would you?
Seriously.
Let's
get on to WrestleMania. Jamie also wanted to touch base and ask about Punk and Jericho, which we planned on talking about anyway, so now is as good a time as any. 12-minute promo that they got on Raw. I just say the context of it as well. I really like that they were opening with the champion versus champion match. Punk comes out being introduced, blah blah blah, by the ring announcer and everything, and then he goes and his opponent. And instead of Daniel Bryan coming out, Jericho come out, and then they did this promo. As soon as the 12-minute promo was over, Daniel Bryan's music played, he come out, and then they had the match. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't, it's something, you know, they've done it before, but they don't do it very often. So it was really cool that they did it, and it seemed different and fresh.
I want to hear your thoughts first. Go first on Punk Jericho 12-minute promo.
It was okay.
That was my thoughts, too.
Mm, okay.
No, it's great.
So, no, the thing that I really like about Jericho now is, again, when we talked about him being, you know, he's not different. He just come out. There was no new real spin to it. But it's starting to evolve into, before he was a guy that come out and was the Nick Bockwinkel, you know, serious serial killer type, you know, wore the suit, you know, called people sycophants and mm-hmm. you know, and all that stuff. Whereas now, and jacket aside, we both kind of agree that the jacket that might have been the
blow
of the jacket, right? The blow off.
It might have been.
Maybe. I mean, either way, what he does though is he comes out and he's his new character is more delusional. He comes out and he says things and in a very convincing manner, almost like a Major League Baseball player that fails a steroid test. But is telling just bullshit. You know, when he talks about how...
Or in other words, like a wrestler.
He didn't...
Kale Sonnen. Is he basing his character off Kale Sonnen?
Very well could be. But, I mean, he's talking about, you know, I didn't call myself the best in the world at what I did. The people did. And they brought signs to say, well, no, you know what I mean? They didn't. And, you know, with things like that, you know, I did this, I didn't care about the politic in the back, and I did this, and I did, like, all that stuff, it sounds really good, right?
Yeah.
It's like what you say to get hired, right?
Yeah.
But it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And I like that, because he, you know, he can portray it as he believes it.
Yeah.
Right? And so then there's that, they said, the air of the heel has to believe he's right, you know, kind of era to it. And then, and Punk coming back, and I mean, and, you know, the line about, you know, did you give that best there is, best there was to Bret Hart there? And yeah, good for Portland for chatting along, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With it. And, they were awesome
on Monday.
Yeah, did you give that to him too when you were 2 years? You know, did you invent?
They didn't sell out. That's amazing. They didn't sell out.
No, they didn't. They were 9,500 there. So I don't know what the seats. You know, if it's 17,000, 15,000, or what, but they didn't know. So
yeah.
But no, I Punk come back and was really good. And you know, the fact when Punk had said, you know, you and I, best versus best. You know, it's for this. All we need, we don't need the pirates. You know, he said we don't need the inflatable letters to say
we're
awesome. And, you know, just, but all we need is
those
you.
Those are lame.
All we need is you, me, and a ring.
Yeah.
And we can go at it. And that's perfect.
And they mentioned this, and also this happens a lot in the Rock's promo at the end.
Oh,
the word wrestling is used
mm-hmm.
a lot. We can go out and have the best wrestling match.
Well, even The Rock, and we're jumping ahead a bit, but The Rock even said, you know, I'm in this business of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And I became a professional wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
And
the
I
word,
was a baby
that word
face.
Is really oh. getting over. Yeah. That word is, they're really using that a lot. This the verbiage of this promo was brilliant on both ends. This felt like bullet points, not like scripted. This felt like two guys literally playing off each other and exchanging in the ring. Knowing, having an idea of what the other guy was going to say, but playing off of it.
Yeah.
This was great mic work. This got the point across. There was no filler, no bullshit. It wasn't trying to pander to the crowd.
No.
The verbiage was so good. But the Jericho never ran down Punk. And Punk made fun of Jericho, but he never ran down how good he is.
Well, they further to that, they actually made a point.
Both of them.
You know, you're one of my favorites. And Jericho, you know, the Punk going, well, I know how good you are.
Everyone knows how good you are.
Yeah.
So that's it. And basically Punk saying, you say you're the best in the world. You really believe it. I say I'm the best in the world. I really believe it. Let's settle it.
Yeah.
It's making it about the title and about being the best. Now that it gives it something, it's got something different because you got the Rock and Cena.
That's
where the Rock and Cena, where these guys really want to fight each other, and you want to see it because it's a clash of generations. And then you have this streak and a guy who needs redemption, even though he's undefeated at Mania, versus this guy who needs to prove that he is just as good as the legends.
Yeah.
That people are saying that he's not quite at that level now, and you have these legends who are clashing, and he's saying I am at the very best at the end. So you got that, and now you have this. Right now in the ring, today, I'm the best, you're the best, let's prove it.
Yeah.
Yet now each of these storylines has their own individual, the three main events, has their own individual thing that makes it unique and makes me want to see all those matches. They turned this from an angle where I said to you last week, where we recorded, I said they really got to do something with this.
Yeah.
They really got to kick this off. They did. And not only was the verbiage and the way they played it, building each other up, but stating their point so good, and things like Punk saying, I'm a professional wrestler, I'm not trying to do all these other things, I'm the best here. And Jericho saying, I can be the best at whatever I do because I'm that great.
Yeah.
Getting the personality across, but both building it up. But the other thing is, the attack afterwards on the back and the psychology of Jericho, the heel, and the way he did that,
yeah.
I thought that stuff was really, really good, too.
Jerry Lawler, you know, of everything that the announcers do for shit,
yeah.
And as soon as he slammed him onto the grate, and Lawler went, oh.
Yeah.
You know, got it over, right?
Got it over, and then just the, and Punk was selling it afterwards, and Jericho yelling, this is a whole different level. This isn't like anything else. I'm a whole different level.
Yeah.
This is a different level. Making it feel like it's something special we're about to see. So much of this was so fucking good.
Yeah.
I really loved it.
Well, and I like, again, I like
all
the fact
was good.
That they've niched it out to, this is the wrestling match now. This
yeah.
is the wrestling.
This is to settle who's best today.
Yeah.
The other one's to settle who's best previously, and, you know.
And then the other one's who's the bigger star, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah, just, who's best in history.
But,
yeah, exactly.
But it's this is, if you ask now, if you just, like, went on the street to a wrestling fan and you asked, this would be, they would say that, well, this is going to be the best wrestling match now.
Yeah.
Based on the hype. This is going to be the best match
yeah.
on there, right?
So exactly.
I like that. I like the way that it's been positioned. They have a purpose now, unlike, you know, Kane and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know, there's a purpose. So I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. Like I say, and the attack afterwards, the walls of Jericho, all of that stuff. Just great performances from both guys here.
Yes.
And great, you know, awesome, awesome stuff.
It is, and we've, I guess that brings us, is there any other topic that you have before we hit Rock and Cena?
Do you want to talk a little bit about Sheamus and Jericho, or Sheamus and Brian? Do you have anything else to say coming off of this last week on Sheamus and Brian, or Teddy and Laurinaitis, the direction those are going?
Well, Teddy and Laurinaitis, now they've switched this week.
Yeah, Teddy's running Raw tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and it's a Tonga against the Big Show.
Yeah.
Is what he's booked. And then Friday will be John Laurinaitis. Friday's SmackDown going head-to-head with the debut of The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Being rewritten as we speak. really, they've realized that they've gone up against The Ultimate, that they're going up against the debut of The Ultimate Fighter, so they are rewriting SmackDown now to load up the show.
I don't really think it's going to have a huge dent.
I don't think so either, but that's what they're doing. So,
yeah.
Interesting to me that Rock not going to be on SmackDown at all, at least.
Yeah, you'd think he'd make at least one appearance on there, right?
Yeah, I just figured he'd do it once, right? But
yeah.
I guess not. But, I mean, not that it really matters. Just thought that. But, yeah, you've got that.
Do you know, is he going to be on the show tomorrow? I thought he was, but not.
Yeah, Boston, right? I think he is, yeah.
He is? Okay,
yeah.
So he's on tomorrow in Boston. He's seen his hometown.
Yeah, he's seen his hometown. HBK.
And HBK will be there.
Yeah, HBK will be there in Cena's hometown. And I don't know, Undertaker was supposed to be, but now isn't, I think.
Okay.
Is what the deal is. So it's just Hunter and Shawn, I guess, that are going to go verbally at it again.
That's fine.
I'm okay with that.
You know what? That's fine. It builds up that characters and that angle. They did the smart thing in the video they showed last week for Hunter and Undertaker instead of having them on. That video was just awesome.
Yeah, I think
they were talking about how great the match was.
Yeah, and Stone Cold and The Rock and, you know, talking about it. And
people put over, exactly.
But, and I don't think you need to see The Undertaker until the go-home show of you know, where... And
I'd agree. I don't think you need to see him till Mania.
I just think you have him wrestle Kane on the go home.
I think probably what you do is a couple more of those videos. Yeah. They're so great. I want to see more of those.
But, yeah, I think that that's... well, I don't... Yeah, I don't
less
know.
Less is more in many cases, right?
Well, and there's so... and that's the nice part about having... And, again, we talk about Sheamus and Bryan. That's really the fifth thing on this now, is because Laurinaitis and Teddy Long have overtaken that, because they really haven't done anything with that.
But you know what? They haven't done much with it, but what I like is it's a good spot for it, to tell you the truth, because it could be the fifth one, but it could actually be the best wrestling match. That's so to a lot of the hardcores like me, even if it's not positioned that way, I think that could be the best wrestling match ahead of Jericho. To be honest with you, Jericho, since he's come back and the few times I've seen him in the ring, he looks to me like he might have lost a half step.
Yeah.
He's been gone for a while. I don't know if it's rust or whatever. He's in great shape and everything. Don't get me wrong. He's got to prove to me he's still the guy who can, at his age and being away for so much, is still quite as good as he once was, because he relied so much on his athleticism. And,
the
you know,
thing is
that
you,
is, that has to have slipped some.
But part of the, but he's doing DDP yoga. Not your, it's not your mama's yoga.
It's not my mama's
but
yoga.
You,
just like Kurt Pellegrino.
Part of being, part of being a,
and Barack Obama.
Who? Part of being a great match is having time to do it. And I don't think that, you know, right now when you're talking, right now the two candidates,
I think you can have. I think they can
Punk and Jericho and Sheamus and Bryan, and I just think that Punk and Jericho. Now you're right. If Jericho's lost that half a step, having more time is actually going to be a detriment to that match.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time,
he looks to me like he might have lost half step or a full step. I kind of
they are
going to
get, but they'll get more right now than Sheamus and Bryan.
I would think they would get 20 to 25, and I think Sheamus and Bryan would get 12.
10 to 15. Yeah, 12. Yeah. So I mean, it's not bad. I mean,
you'd have a really good match of 12 minutes. I saw, I can't remember what it
was. Well, I could, yeah.
Well, a really good match could be had in 12 minutes. I remember it was Rey Mysterio against, I can't remember who it was. It was a Mania a few years ago. It was like 12 minutes and arguably the best match of the night. So.
Eddie?
Could have been. Might have been.
Well, you had one against Matt Hardy as well.
It was off that range. And so, yeah.
Cody? That was last year.
That was last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was best match of the night, though.
Yeah. Probably Eddie.
Yeah, I think so.
I would think.
I think so, yeah. And I think it was about 12 minutes and arguably best match. So it could happen. It could happen.
It could. Yeah, no, and it's possible. I just said...
I'm going to watch Eddie versus Ray from Halloween Havoc tonight now.
Now
that you said that.
That was good.
Speaking of five-star matches, but I think that one about 18, so...
Yeah. Well, it was... it actually went... the copy I have is from RF Video, and it went 15 minutes. But Rob Feinstein put it and said, LOL, I'll pretend it was 18.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
fucking prick.
I think that, you know, it's what
Feinstein,
he likes.
Feinstein, not you. Hmm? Well, both.
Yeah. No, but that's Feinstein likes to fuck a little prick, is that what he said? I don't even know. But,
that's why he's a little prick.
Sheamus and Bryan, to me, you still have to do, I mean, Sheamus won the Rumble.
Well, seriously, other than that, why would you use that word?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Sheamus won the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, and that... You know, again, should be good enough, but then you just kind of have to put in, you know, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to do this, and
it will be the opener, right?
And I haven't seen it. Probably will, and it, you know, at this point, it deserves to be. It should
and frankly,
be.
But people are laughing
quite
at the
frankly?
Fact that people, quite fucking frankly, people are laughing at the idea of the opener, to be 100% honest. It is one of the most important spots on the show. You need to kick it off, and especially for Mania, you want to kick that off with a really good, high-energy match. Remember a few years ago they kicked it off with, I think they kicked it off a couple of years ago there, two or three years ago, with Morrison and Truth versus Show and Miz or something, and it just kicked it off to a kind of a flat start.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to have that.
The thing is, you can't do that anymore, though. Have that. Because one of the half of that team is gone, right?
What the fuck are you talking about?
You were saying that you want to have a high-energy start. Coco's still around. He's a Hall of Famer, but Owen's dead, man.
Holy shit. Until you said it, that never got into my head. The Coco Beware is in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And Owen Hart
is not. No.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
High energy. But Einar Jürgens, the Head Shrinkers, right?
Yeah.
Great opener.
That was an excellent opener.
It was.
Was that a Survivor Series
93, I believe, yes.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. So that's what you want to do. So I do think that...
The All-Americans against the Foreign Fanatics.
Yeah.
Team names. But, I don't... That probably is, at this point, a good spot on the show for it. But, again, it's just kind of that... From that traditional perspective... The winner of the Royal Rumble goes on to WrestleMania, right? And that's happened since 93. And then, look in, and 2 years in a row now, it would be the opener, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's just one of those. But I do like the way that they present it, the same way they presented it last year. They're presenting it this way where every match is a main event. I'm going to be in the main event of I'm in the main event of WrestleMania, right?
Yep.
Everybody's got the main event.
Everybody's
right?
saying my match is the most important to Mania. Should.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody
like
say
that
every year.
And right now we've got, what do we have?
Even fucking Michael Cole was saying that last year.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mind
right?
that.
We have, what, 6 matches, I think, for Mania now then?
Is that it?
Well, we have 5 announced officially. And we have 2 that are strongly hinted at.
Well, we talked about how the top 3 matches could go with the entrances and everything 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then you have probably about 20 minutes worth of backstage segments.
Yeah.
So now you're close to, now you have about an hour left to fill.
We have Kane and Orton, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the Laurinaitis Long, which are the 2 that are hinted but haven't been announced.
And then Laurinaitis Long, you'd have to think, would also go quite a while. So...
Here's another question that I just come to mind, because you're talking about backstage segments. That
everybody needs to get in the match and have their shine, right?
Right, but I'm just trying to think of every, we've got, HBK, and we talked about Foley, and we talked, you've got, this, but, so what are we going to do? We're going to have, Laurinaitis is going to want Jack Doan to be in there, right? And Teddy Long is going to want, his blue shirt guy there. So, there's really, for a match of this importance, there's, do you need someone to maintain law?
Is this where that's a good point.
What?
That's actually a surprisingly good point. This is a perfect place for someone like that.
Yeah.
For Austin or somebody else, but Austin ideally, to show up and be the, you're right, because both sides, you need a referee who is supposedly impartial.
Yeah. Foley could do it, too.
No,
but,
Foley can't move and get down to make the count.
That's true.
And get back up? Fuck no.
No.
No. He couldn't do that when he was the referee in the Hell in the Cell with him and with Nash and Triple H. What was that, like 8 years ago? He couldn't get down and get up then.
That's true.
And now he's that
Bad
much older.
Blood 2003.
Yeah, he's that much older and his knees are, he's that much fatter.
He's doing DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
Yeah, it doesn't work for everyone, apparently.
Oh.
Even I believe, didn't even Paige say that?
No, I think he just said you had to do it.
Oh, that he wouldn't do it? That
was
the problem?
Yeah, that was the thing, yeah, is that he'd believe it when he did it, when he actually did it consistently.
Yeah.
But, no, I think that, that would be, someone that way. And I'm just thinking that, we don't, Austin doesn't have a role yet. Unless Austin, again, Austin could do 2 and duck Mike Tyson.
Does Austin need a role? Is he going to induct Mike Tyson?
They haven't announced that.
Anything? Does
yet,
Austin need a role? I think it's a good thing. It's a good idea. It's good. I like it. I like that idea.
One thing they haven't done.
They did mention Santino has been officially announced. So now Long's team has Santino and who else? That's it, right?
Have they announced teams yet?
I thought Santino was actually announced to be on his team, and that's about it.
No, I don't think so. I just think that, and I know Tonga would be on
we pretty much have an idea of the four guys on Laurinaitis' team. And again, we don't know. We're hearing 10 man.
That's right. It'd be an 8 or a 10, right? So, but it's, who knows? And I think that'll just sort of play itself out over, and it'll be fine. It'll be, that'll be your Kofi.
You announce nine guys. And then the 10th guy, you have Ray show up ideally as a surprise. I think that to put that team over, you could do that. But again, I can't picture Laurinaitis' team not winning. Here's another thing, though. What about the idea of a 7th match being something to do with the titles again? Because I didn't get the feeling, because they built up a little bit with the Swagger and Ziggler, Primo and Epico, and
Truth and Kofi.
Kofi. I didn't get the, I mean, those guys had a match. Epico and Primo retained, but I didn't get the feeling like that issue is necessarily settled. And you could certainly add a fourth team into the mix as well.
Yeah.
We had talked about that before. So that is, if they're to have a seventh match, I think it'll be that. Women will have
some role on it,
but like I say, Ryder and Eve probably in the ring maybe have something.
If they were to add a seventh match, we've got seven already. So they would be adding an eighth match.
An eighth match, okay.
So, because Cody and Big Show, right?
Okay. So
that would be, that's already that. And that one's done. So the only, there's five matches there, and then the two are the long Laurinaitis, whatever they do, and
Kane, yeah, but I mean, you look
Kane
at
and Orton,
Kane,
right?
Kane Orton, 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cody and Show, 10 minutes.
Yeah. What do you think about the Hall of Fame? They've still got, I mean, who, they've done the Horseman, Edge, Mike Tyson, and Ron Simmons, right?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Yokozuna to be announced still.
Yokozuna, Mil Máscaras, right? They
yeah.
announced when they were in Mexico and haven't done that.
We'll have one tomorrow, almost for sure, don't you think?
I think you have to, don't you? Because they do those, if they have those two, because that would be perfect. Yoko and Mil Máscaras would be then, because you've, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot of, but then you have like five guys going in the Four Horsemen, right? So that's, you know.
Does everybody get a chance to talk? Or do they have a spokesman for the five?
I don't know.
And does that, is that a way
I
to keep, is that a way to have Flair there without letting him talk since he's performing for another company? And you have Dylan talk, say, for the
I think
five
everybody
of them?
Has to say a little something. I think
the crowd will be fucking pissed if Flair does not say something.
I think everybody's going to say a little something, yeah. I mean, you look at it, well, much like their interview segments,
mm-hmm.
right, when they all used to get on there and or, you know, or if you watch, like, an award show, when, you know, like, a TV show
they
wins.
They don't watch
like,
those.
But if a TV show wins and the whole cast gets up,
because
you
I'm
know, they usually have a big spokesman, but a couple other people will
Set
come up,
up
and talk to
kind of what
talk
you
about
are.
It. So I think that that's a possibility.
Less than a man.
But you don't need that many people, right? You got six, seven.
Half a man, maybe.
Eight with Mike Tyson. Nine, ten. So you'd have
ten
people going in. 10 people going in, is that enough?
Lady parts, I think.
What? You have lady parts?
What? Huh? I'm sorry. What were you talking about?
Your lady parts.
Oh. They're yours.
Oh. Can I have them back?
You would make more use of them. Anyway. What
well,
were you saying?
You're the one always going to tell me to go fuck myself.
10
people going to the Hall of Fame then if Mil Máscaras and Yokozuna are in. So that's... It's a good
that's,
class,
that's
right?
A good, that's a hell of a class.
It's you know.
And then if you do have Austin, one of the things I watched was the press conference this week. I watched the press conference post Mania 14 with
Austin. Oh, right, when Shawn stormed out in the side?
Yeah, exactly, with Austin and Tyson. Fuck, it was great.
Oh, yeah.
Tyson was great, too, but Austin was particularly great that night.
Yeah.
But
I think that that's perfect, and because then you got 2 weeks, right? How many weeks are? How many? What do we got? Four more Raws, right?
No, three more, isn't it? Well, maybe it is four. We're 4 weeks away.
So three Raws.
Yeah, don't you think?
What is tomorrow? Is the 5th, right?
We're 29 days away, right?
5th, 12th, 19th, no, 26th, and then Mania, right?
Mania.
So we have four.
Okay, we do have four.
So we have four Raws
tomorrow.
So
it's going to be off. Of course, WrestleMania is on April Mo's Day.
It is. So that's going to be interesting. I guess we won't do maybe we'll bump it a week. The our April Fool's show.
Or put it up a week early, or just record and put it up as a special. Of course, we have our best of, which is really close in the final edit stages. We do invite everybody to listen to last year's April Fool's Day joke if you want to laugh your ass off.
And for those of you keeping...
jokes that... It's basically us talking about worst and funniest shit in the history of wrestling.
For those of you keeping track, the best of show on track to beat the WWE Network by, I think, 2.5 weeks.
Probably.
But regardless...
Well, it's how long does the edit look to be at this point? 6 hours? Two shows?
We're getting off topic. I'm talking about WrestleMania.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about
our
best of. It's
I know.
Guaranteed
and when it comes up, it'll be great, and we'll promote it. But
yeah, you heard some of it today.
I did. It is very good. But four Raws. So if you've got two... If you've got Yoko and Mil Máscaras, then you've got two left because they like to do the last two, like, that's when they'll do, like, who's inducting.
Yeah.
Right?
Is yeah.
To run that through on that, that second
now,
last week.
I did hear that they are looking to have, I did hear that they are looking, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Henry, I heard, is looking to be the guy to induct Simmons, not JBL, which is interesting. I hope it's still JBL.
I don't think, from what, but I think it's Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net, is where that, but Mark Henry, doesn't have the most stroke right now.
No.
He's not the, the most liked guy right now by management.
Yeah.
So, I would
but
think.
But it's smarter to use somebody who's a current star than a past star.
Well, in theory.
In theory, but then again, his contract's up.
No, it's smarter to use JBL than Mark Henry.
Henry's actually, his promos and stuff, Henry's not a bad talker.
No, he's not, but JBL is fucking hilarious.
Oh, he
is. And you also have to look at who knows Simmons better, right?
Yeah.
And I would think that would be
JBL. Yeah, I think JBL knows him pretty good much, as good as anybody. And his Simmons' induction speech has potential to be the best and shortest ever.
Damn. Yes.
Actually, that's what he should do. And then he should come back on and give his real speech, right?
Thank you,
come
Bill
up,
Watts.
Yeah, but he should come up, say damn, and then walk off, and then come back and do his speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that should be.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have that many people to thank, right? He thanks Bill Watts, thanks Rosa Parks, and...
Malcolm X?
Malcolm X. Martin Luther King, and Vince McMahon.
And thanks Booker T for never announcing one of his matches.
That's right.
I like that Booker T did say this about somebody who was a white guy.
Thank you,
with
God.
YouTube.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Vince McMahon.
Booker T just can't help it.
No.
It's probably a bunch of times he's actually said it and it's been edited out. I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be great to get a hold of that. But yeah, I think so Hall of Fame looks good. It's going to air on Monday before Raw.
Before
an hour. Looks like it's going to be the Horseman, Edge, and Mike Tyson kind of...
Makes sense.
Those three there. So
yeah.
So those are the that would make sense. So.
Yeah, we're presuming Christian is the guy to induct him.
Yeah.
But I still would not be surprised at all to see if he's
Hunter. Cena. Hunter to do...
I think Cena is very, very likely still to induct him. To induct
who?
Edge.
No.
I think so.
Hunter to do Horseman. Austin to do Michael.
I don't think it'll be Hunter.
Do,
I don't know who it'll be.
Or Dusty.
I don't
That's
believe
the only
be.
Other one.
Dusty. I could see Dusty. Not
Dusty
Hunter.
Or Hunter.
I don't think they get a guy to induct 2 years in a row. But I think
what?
Cena.
They don't get a guy to
I don't
induct.
Think they'll have him induct 2 years in a row because he inducted Shawn last year.
Right, right.
So
Bobby Heenan's never done that.
That's different. Different person in
yeah,
a different
better.
Time.
Better person?
I don't know. Fucking Hunter was awesome last year.
Yeah, but Bobby Heenan's better.
Yeah, well, he is.
Yeah,
that's he's like, better than everybody.
That's like, yeah, that's like the JBL Mark Henry comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Henry may be a good talker, but JBL will be better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so you do JBL for Simmons, you do Christian for Edge, you do.
I still think it'll be like you said. I think it's. I hope it's Christian.
Yeah,
probably is, but I wouldn't be surprised to be Cena. They want Cena out there, especially the night before this match. I think they want him.
You have Ray does Mil Mascaris then, right?
Alberto Del Rio, Ray.
I just think Ray because of the masks, the man of a
probably.
Thousand masks, and he's the mask, right? So
yep.
You know that's or Heath Slater.
Yeah.
He's fucking money.
He's fucking money.
So
on the best of.
Yes. But and then who else we got? Yokozuna, The Rock.
You know who should induct Mil Mascaris? Mick Foley.
Yes, he should. And they could take that ST plunge together. Who does Yoko?
We had heard The Rock.
Yeah.
Because they have, I mean, they're Samoan, so they're family.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's Rikishi. I mean, there's the Usos. I mean,
I think Rikishi's pretty, from what I understand, Rikishi's pretty good with them nowadays, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
He's probably the guy.
Well, yeah. But you're talking about someone on your roster versus someone. But, I mean, you don't do the Usos. They're not big enough.
Yeah, there's not really anybody. We can't talk about it not being Cornette. So, I mean, there's not. It's
I love
not going to be
Fuji.
It's not going to be him. So, I mean, it doesn't really leave a lot of people left.
I guess J.J. Dillon's your manager that's going in this year.
Yeah.
No woman.
No
cry.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think woman's getting in anytime soon.
No, there's Elizabeth, and, you know, again, this was the year that I did Sable to capitalize on the Brock rumors, right?
Yeah.
But it seems a bit, I mean, it's still a couple weeks. I mean, who knows? I mean, Yoko seems like, and Mel Mattress they announced, but.
Yoko seems like the guy who I could see getting bumped. It seems
And it seems, I mean, I don't know, I just, Yokozuna, I guess he is somewhat of a footnote in history, but just seems like a, you know, a bigger guy to me than, he's 600 pounds, but a bigger star than, you know, second last week. By the way, we're also inducting, you know, after Ron Simmons, right?
Yeah.
To me, Yokozuna gets announced before Ron Simmons, right? But, I mean...
I think they're about the same level.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
No.
I think so.
Yeah, but, no. Ron, how long was Ron Simmons a champion for?
Not long.
No. That's what I mean. And he's tag team. Ron Simmons had more longevity... career-wise, but Yokozuna was a bigger star. It's like top of the card, right?
Yokozuna, yeah, I suppose.
You know, that's what I think. I think if
Yokozuna main evented a WrestleMania, and it was the lowest buy WrestleMania in history, right?
Two of them. He main evented
a couple. Yeah, he did.
Right?
He was there for, I don't know, 4 years in total?
He was just after WrestleMania 8, I think. He came in that summer, right? Was when he was doing that, and he... That's when he was undefeated, and then he had that feud with Duggan.
Yeah, he won the Rumble, got the title shot, beat Brett, lost to Hogan, got it back from Hogan, held it for a year,
Brett. And, beat Luger, did the Lex Express thing, lost it to Brett, then...
I think he was a face against Vader next year, wasn't he? Mania 11?
No, that's when he teamed with Owen.
Oh, that's right.
They won the tag titles. And he kept going that for a year, and then he turned face the following year when Vader come in.
Yeah.
And he was on the same team as Jake the Snake on Ahmed Johnson.
That's right.
And who else? Was it just six men?
I don't know. We're getting way off topic.
It was against Davey and Vader.
But he was there at the very start of the Attitude Era still. So I think it was a 4 or 5 year run.
I don't think he was.
Simmons. I just think the reason that he's a bigger star is because. If you ask people who's a bigger star who were watching wrestling, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah, Yokozuna.
No, I don't think so. I think they would say Ron Simmons is a bigger star. I really do. He's been around for longer.
10 years ago, Yokozuna wasn't around yet. So, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, no, he was around, but he was like Coquinus Maximus in AWA.
It doesn't matter. They're both significant, right? You have a former, first ever African-American world champion. You have, even if it wasn't WCW and it wasn't a long run, and a major, very long run, a popular run during the Attitude Era, as a mid-carder, mm-hmm. and even at one point an upper mid-carder in the WWE, got some title shots himself, against a guy who was, again, a Mania main eventer, but when business was down, and... we have trouble thinking of three great Yokozuna matches, and I couldn't think of off the top of my head. I don't know how many great
Ron Simmons matches. Yeah.
So that might not be the best, but I just his time with Doom and just the overall length in the public eye. But anyways, we're getting way fucking.
I'm just thinking in terms of the lineage of everything. But you're right. No, but we started talking about Yokozuna getting bumped, right?
And I'm just saying. I think they're about the same. You think one's bigger?
I think Yoko takes a nod over Ron Simmons. It's not a gaping, hole or
no,
anything.
No, it's not your mom.
It's close. It's close.
It's not
like
your mom.
Me and your mom.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's. I don't know. I think
she gapes.
But she could. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have no idea.
Gross.
I've asked her to see a doctor.
Trying not to spit out my Coke as I was drinking and saying that.
I'm also kind of itchy.
Elastic asshole. Anyway.
I do think there's a slight edge there to Yoko, but you're right. I think that if the way that this is going, he could be the one that's bumped if there is, and who knows.
Yoko's innocence seems like most likely to be bumped.
But
Yeah. So I think we got to get to the big part of the show, right? The main event.
I'm keeping my pants on. Okay. Oh, the main event. Yes. The promo. Of all
the promo.
The promo of the 24 minutes.
Yeah.
This promo goes.
And again, just it was fantastic. And right before, actually, we recorded this, we watched the Punk Jericho, and then we watched this again, just kind of as a refresher. And I said, this is these two segments, this is why we can watch wrestling.
Yeah, well, and I noted, too, that it seemed like at the beginning that The Rock had come out.
No, he didn't. That's one of the things that was interesting about this promo, was it wasn't The Rock at the beginning.
Oh.
Fuck you. You know I say this to you when we're watching it. There's a point where about 15 minutes, for like the first 15 minutes probably, it's very obvious that it's Dwayne Johnson talking. Because he's saying things like, I'm talking to the guys in the back, and I'm talking about you, Cena. And Cena, I don't think you're a phony, and I don't think you're this and that, and I'm here for these people, and all these different things. And he keeps on saying I. And then there's kind of a point where he says, and The Rock's here, and The Rock's going to stick his foot right up, his size 15 right up your candy ass, and there's a point where he becomes The Rock. So that was what was interesting. One of the interesting things to me about this promo was the very beginning, that was Dwayne Johnson talking to us before he went into the hype and the character of The Rock.
Right. No, and that was very, well, and I think his...
And you know I was going to beat the shit out of you if you stole that
from
me.
well, the thing is with The Rock, too, is that with he hasn't been back since, right? Since
yeah.
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series, yeah.
So just before Survivor
Series. That was when he was talking about lady parts. That's when that trended worldwide.
Trended worldwide. Oh, fuck, did I get sick of that.
Yeah, that's the one thing that needs to fucking go.
Yeah, it's trending worldwide. It's really got to. But I think that...
I tell you the truth, one of the reasons it might go is because John Cena left. The last thing he said was, keep trending.
Yeah.
Get back to your trending.
Yeah, keep go back to trending.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think that this is him being
Let's
back
break it down,
the
though.
First time since Survivor Series. So when he comes out and he says, you know, some people, you know, get upset that, you know, that I'm not always here and, you know, I'm not here. When I said I'm never going anywhere, it doesn't mean I'm going
to
be at
and
every
you know who
fucking
I'm talking
house
to.
Show, right?
One of the things is he says, you know who I'm talking to, and the crowd started chanting something about, I don't know, it was Cena Sucks or Fruity Pebbles or something.
Fruity Pebbles.
So I think the crowd was assuming. But no, if he meant Cena, he would have said Cena.
Yeah.
Because he said Cena later. So he wasn't talking about Cena.
No, I think he was talking to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
I think he was talking to those people that are on, you know, on the Cena bandwagon for it, right? I mean, you've seen, what was it that, it was Lance Storm, I think, was tweeting something about someone had said, you know.
I missed that because I was trying to tweet with Lance Storm and he never responds to me.
Well, yes.
No matter
what I do. He's a health nut. The thing is that he had said, so someone asked about closing the show or something. And he said, well, yeah, he should close the show. He's the biggest star on the show.
Yeah.
And The Rock sort of retweeted or said something and then replied to like, yeah, amazing how many people that are in the business just don't get the business.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's just, and that was kind of on the same line of what he was saying is when he was talking about, you know, I'm not going everywhere. I didn't say I was going to be at the fucking house
this
show.
This may surprise you, but I'm not here every week.
Yes. I'm not going to be at the house show in Delaware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shocking. I know.
Yeah. Well, neither am I.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I was going to, but now I just feel stupid. Which I guess I'd feel right at home in Delaware, wouldn't I?
High five. That was good.
But no, I think that that's what he was saying, is he was talking to the group of people, you know, the FOC.
Dwayne Johnson was talking
FOC,
to
right? Yeah. Friends of Cena. So
yeah, that's management. That's all the wrestlers. That's whatever. Yeah.
But I do think that then he'd come out and when he said, I did the line that was really good to me, the one that I thought was just kind of brilliant was when he was saying, you know, you fight for all the people in the back. You said you were going to fight for all the people in the back. And then he enlisted and he said, no, nobody fights for you but you, you retard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just, you know.
John Cena fan?
Yeah. Did Austin, anybody fight for Austin? Anybody fight for Hunter, Foley, Macho Man, Randy Savage,
Roddy
Piper, because they were in Oregon, right? I mean, but it's all true. It just, and so that was a great line where he said, you could fight for all of them, and then he points out to the crowd, I'll fight for all of them. And
yeah.
It's just, and that's the other thing, too, is that we mentioned in the promo, he said, professional wrestling is in my blood, and I wanted to be a professional wrestler, but he also used the word fight.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a fight.
Yeah.
And
he said he's here to entertain. He said he's not sick of entertaining.
No.
And the fans aren't sick of being entertained. They're sick, though, of having somebody shoved down. A Kung Pao bitch shoved down their throat.
A Kung Pao bitch, yes.
Yeah.
And then I did enjoy when he said I was a good guy. A baby face.
Yeah, I was booed just like you.
Yeah. But is that the first time baby face has ever been used on Raw?
I doubt it, but I can't think of one.
Yeah.
If anybody can think of it, send me on Twitter, mo_WeTalk, because seriously, I can't think of one.
I'd like to know. I can't think of one either. I mean, I remember Edge and Christian when they were doing that gimmick for a while where they were on commentary, and they're like, we're going to go in and interfere in the match, or do a run-in, as we call it.
Sure, they would. Or like, what's his name? Ziggler, hashtag heel.
Yes,
right?
Yes, which you can buy now without the hashtag.
Yeah.
On kayfabe shirts on WWE.com.
Exactly.
Heel, what does it say? Heel, there's a heel, jobber, I'm so over, what's your finish?
Is that
That's actually the Ultimate Warrior shirt.
I was going to say Scott Hall.
No, it's
what's your finish so I can kick out of it?
It's the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, that's what he said to Triple H, but that's also what Scott Hall said to, like, Benoit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you corroborate that?
No comment.
Oh.
It is funny that Hunter bitches about somebody saying that, and meanwhile that's a line that one of his best friends used to somebody else.
Yes.
As long as it's not on me, it's okay.
That's right.
Prick.
That's your finish. But no, I think that when he'd come out and he used those terms, then yeah, you were getting Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
And then he got all of the entertain movies or this or that. And then he got going a bit into rock mode, and then
Hugh Chants and.
I mean, the chance, they got going eventually, but then they weren't instant. Like, when he did Boots to Asses that one time, it was immediate.
Yeah, and
loud.
The truth, the fans were more interested in chanting Boots to Asses, Fruity Pebbles, Rocky, even Lady Parts than they were Kung Pao Bitch, but they did also.
It's new, though.
But, it's new, but the one they didn't need to be push to chant that they kind of grabbed onto with not Kung Pao Bitch, it's
Missing Balls.
Missing Balls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was great. The unfortunate part was the timing of it, because when they chanted Missing Balls, that's when Cena's music hit.
It's too bad, because that's when Rock was really enjoying
himself.
He
was like, wow.
And that's when people were, yeah.
I could have done with another 30 seconds of a Missing Balls chant. I'm
Me
not going to lie.
Me too.
And I never actually thought I'd ever say those words again. But, no, I think that then Cena comes out and, is Cena, right, is Mr. Oh, wow, and has the happy-go-lucky smiley face, being a dick, basically. And that's when I kind of looked at him like, he's really playing a heel here.
Yeah.
He's playing Dolph Ziggler. Or,
yeah.
Or he's playing a cocky prick heel.
Yeah.
Here when he comes
in. I told you the week before there was subtle heel stuff.
Yeah, but this wasn't subtle. This was...
No, this was, and that's the thing is, he came out. Even in his personality, he didn't come out, play to the crowd, didn't make any signals, didn't do anything. Just as he's leaving, the only thing he did was he pointed it towards, with his thumb, towards his back as he's walking away.
Yeah, for the
hustle, loyalty, respect. But he did nothing to play to this crowd and be a babyface.
No, he, yeah, he come out like, yeah, just a cocky son of a bitch is basically what it was, right? Everything he said, everything that Rock said he was.
See, this works because what this does is it presents him as the guy for people to boo at Mania without making him such a heel that you can't turn him back.
That's right. That's right. He's just, yeah. He's the more obnoxious of the two, essentially.
Well, and Rock is simply the more sympathetic character. I mean, a lot of people were saying that they thought Cena got better of him. But in some ways, I suppose he did. But the reason why this works so well is because after that, The Rock was more sympathetic to a character to me. Well, and that's, to me, why The Rock's actually the one who got over.
Well, the whole point
is... He's sympathetic.
The whole point...
You feel more for The Rock.
The whole point of the promo was for Cena to get one over on The Rock, to get the better of The Rock.
And that was, even as he entered and his music hit and the smile, the way he was acting, you're like, oh, he's going to get one over on The Rock. Like, he's like, ah, I've been waiting for this. I'm finally going to get one over on The Rock.
But he did.
He did,
And Rock sold it.
You know. Or didn't know about it. That's kind of the debate.
No, fuck off. He sold it. And there's no debate. Yeah, there's a debate with fucking 8-year-old wankers out on the Oh, I bet he didn't know about it. Yeah, he fucking knew about it.
I'm not saying he didn't know he was coming to the ring. I think the one that people question is the, well, you bring it up. You explain the whole, your theory and what happened. And
people are writing about, or Cena comes out and one of his lines was he takes his wristbands off. He says, I don't need my promo notes on my wrist. Nice tattoo or whatever. And The Rock had some stuff written down on his wrist. And
Kung Pao bitch.
Yeah. For one of the things on there was Kung Pao bitch. Well, I mean, I'm watching this promo, and The Rock does not need,
I never saw him look at it. We watched it closely. I never saw him look for it.
No, I just
didn't seem to need
again,
it.
Again, he wrote it on there, but he's just...
He's not like The Miz, where it was really obvious that time he was announcing the Divas
competition.
Oh, God,
he was, like, reading
it
right
on. It on his hand. He had, like, their names and the things to say, and he was looking at it, and it was really, really obvious. Remember when DX came out?
And for the thousands in attendance.
Looking at their hands.
Hand.
Hilarious.
But, I mean, no, he didn't notice we look at it, have it, if it was there as a backup. I mean, okay, A... If, let's just assume it's a shoot. Let's just assume it's a shoot. Who gives a fuck?
I don't. Do you know how many guys actually have stuff like that written?
Yeah.
Do you know if we, the couple weeks ago when you had the interaction between, I think it was Foley and Ziggler, if you go back, you can see something from Ziggler, some notes for him.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them have that. Do you know why? Because they want to remember their lines and some of them only do have bullet points. And it doesn't hurt. It doesn't affect the performance. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
There's cue cards on... David Letterman has cue cards, even if he has his jokes memorized.
Yeah.
They have cue cards on Saturday Night Live or Friends or whatever. They have all these health people...
Teleprompters.
Teleprompters, yeah. You have somebody coaching the announcers, giving them something in the ear. It's the same idea. It doesn't fucking matter.
Well, referees have the earpiece in WWF even, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and like the announcers have Vince McMahon telling them to laugh.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
But no,
funny, pal.
But no, I think, I mean, yeah. So that's who cares. But and I mean, the fucking debate. Oh, he got ambushed. He didn't know that was. Yeah. He knew what was coming.
See, I don't think. I'm not sure he knew that line. Because there was just a difference. I don't think he was necessarily offended by it. I'm not so sure he knew that line. That kind of exposed him as not being as cool. And I just kind of think he went, what's that? And I do wonder if somebody in the line, Cena didn't come up with it. No matter what. Cena did not come up with it. But somebody might have went to him and said, say this.
What did Rock tweet Lance Storm?
I don't know.
That we just talked about?
I don't know.
It's amazing how many people in the business don't understand the business. It's amazing how many people who do wrestling podcasts don't understand the business. Okay? didn't make him look as cool. Well, no, it made him...
But he looked sympathetic.
Sympathetic.
So that's,
and it made him into the baby face. And it made him get more over so that when a million people tune in to see 70,000 people in a stadium, that it's going to make them cheer Rocky louder, which is going to then make Rocky seem like a bigger star, which all is said and done... Rock's going to make movies whether wrestling fans think he's cool or not.
Okay, I know, but my point is, if you'd let me finish.
No.
Okay.
So, in the meantime, and in, oh.
No, my point is you know a lot of people have Rock's talking about how people don't understand the business. You know how there's a lot of resentment in the back. There's literally people in management and Cena, other wrestlers and stuff, who do have a resentment to him.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, if they could get in a subtle dig to make him not as cool because they have that resentment, wouldn't surprise me. The way that it was said and was done and the reaction of The Rock, I'm not 100% sure that he knew that was coming. Now, like I say, it can be turned into something else, but it seemed to fluster him, too, and you don't see The Rock get flustered.
You're aware he's an actor, right?
He's not that good an actor. You're aware you've seen his movies, right?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, all he had to do, if he knew that, if you've got that...
He could have known it was coming. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't know that was coming, because a lot of the people in the back would really love to just show him up a little bit, because there's that resentment. And I don't care if Guy Wirth is one of Rock's best friends.
He's a McMahon yes man.
Oh, absolutely. Hebner was one of Bret Hart's best friends. So was Pat Patterson. When the time came to screw Bret, they did it. I'm not saying they were planning to screw Rock or are screwing him. I'm just saying that if they said
Pat Patterson kind of is.
He's planning to screw Rock?
And Bret.
And Bret. Knee pads.
Push him and pull him.
But so many of the jokes in the show is just for us. I've mentioned that before. But anyways, I'm just saying, if they said to him, if, you know, come up with something for Cena to get under him, he would in a second. He'd do that. But again, I don't know that it doesn't matter, and it does play into Rock being more sympathetic, but I just know there's enough resentment in there that they would like to get a little dig into him. We've seen, how many times have you seen them do something like that, even if it's not good for business, on television in the past? Get a little dig into somebody.
Not
millions.
Not major, though. I mean,
this isn't major either. It's just a little dig.
No, and it's...
But they do it all the time.
That's what I mean, and it's just all part of the story, right?
Yeah.
It's like, tell them to get the fuck out of my ring, right, at WrestleMania 12.
Yeah.
All part of the story, right? And they talk about how people were, you know, I don't think he... Sean is going into business for himself, and Bret and Sean are sitting there on that Blu-ray and just going, like... People were calling, like Owen's calling Bret, going like the locker rooms, you know, saying you guys hate each other and stuff, because everybody's starting to believe it because they were doing a good job.
And Vince loves that, and he would be trying to push that between Rock and Cena, but from what I understand, Rock and Cena were hanging out and cordial enough. They're not best of friends, but they're cordial to each other, talking before the show and stuff.
Yes, and that's what I mean. Is it and same with Bret and Sean. It's the same dynamic. That people want to believe more is going on than what's actually
very
going
possible
on.
As well.
And that's what I'm saying, is that there's that element of Markyism that is coming through, because it's a big match with two stars,
and that's good,
and
though.
The angle
if
is good.
If they're doing that,
yeah,
making
that's
people,
what I'm saying.
Is
people want to believe more than what's actually happening, and that's kind of what I see this with the. The notes on the wrist and stuff, right? So he knew it was coming. He responded how he was supposed to respond, and everything was, you know, played out. One thing I am, though, is looking forward to Raw tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I'm looking forward to Sean and Hunter. I'm looking forward to The Rock and seeing what happens next. Don't do too much. Like I say, less is more. Just a slow build, just a little performance.
Well,
even need that full in-ring. This week, if anything, what you want to do, Cena was really out there for, what, 4 minutes? Other than his match, but who gives a fuck about his match beating The Miz?
It was 4.5 minutes he was out
and there. The Miz, again, we don't know what role his will be at Mania. It's going to be something, so I'll just say that. But
that's too bad.
And whether or not he'd play into this storyline is still possible, because I brought that up last week.
I don't think
it's going to happen.
Think so,
but
especially now.
I don't think so either, but I'm just throwing it out there. But we could, I would like to see the Cena come out cutting a 20-minute promo, have The Rock come out for 3 minutes, and that's his only performance. Just, he gets it back verbally. He gets his heat back verbally against Cena. And, you know, too bad he used the private school line. You're a doctor of thugonomics, even though you came from a private school. He should have saved that. But that maybe is a good little dig, but... Okay.
Yeah, well, there could be others. I mean...
I'm sure there's plenty.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, it's in his hometown of Boston. Rock, I guess, supposed to be there tomorrow. So, You know, that's the other thing.
He doesn't
have
anything else. But he's not shooting any movies right now.
No,
he's nothing else going on right
now.
No,
but if the thing is if you're, you know, and I think that's part of it, is that when you're talking about less is more, I mean, really we had these two promos, the video package for the Undertaker.
And now I can't wait to see the matches. And now you have four more shows to fuck it up.
No, but...
That's the thing. My anticipation for Mania is I wish it was today. My anticipation is so high right now, I'm worried they'll only bring it down.
Well, the thing, though, is when I talk about Raw from last, he had two bookending promos and that video package, and the rest of the show was largely garbage. Right? I mean, like, was there? I mean, there was a tag that was okay. There was Miz and Cena.
Eve saying something in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And she uses men, and she can't help it. You all love her.
Yeah, and then
don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
And then Kelly beat someone, and then she asked Kelly, and Kelly blew her off, or Eve blew Kelly off. And but I mean,
Kelly was blowing somebody else off.
Yeah, that's right.
Many people apparently.
But I mean, but that's really. That's
she doesn't
really
have time to fuck
them
all, so she blows some of them off.
Yeah, well there you go. She had some backstage.
She's trying to fuck most of them.
You had some backstage stuff with Laurinaitis and Teddy, but I mean, other
she's
than
not
that,
your mom, there's no time to fuck everyone.
It was pretty much, a throwaway stuff other than those. So you can do that again.
And she's fucked
saying.
Them all already.
You have. You have. But
there's still people in the audience to blow. Kelly's a whore, according to Randy Orton.
When did you get here?
No, it was. You're right. There was a lot of. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't. It wasn't. There's a lot of filler, you know. But the Daniel Bryan and Punk match was good and stuff. But there was a lot of filler in between.
But you don't notice it.
You don't
notice. And it's the same. I look at the Attitude Era, the Raws back then. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, Southern Justice and you know and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of filler. We didn't notice because the two or three segments that were good were really good.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. But, yeah, I think we're an hour and a half.
I think we're done for this week.
And I don't know that, we've got much else or anything else to talk about. My my little notepad here is empty.
I'm Mo underscore WeTalk. Just get that out there. And I'm Mo at WeTalk Podcast. That's the...
.com.
Yes.
Your email.
Is my email. So yes. please get a hold of me. We're always looking for more interaction with you for questions and whatever. We did have one. We're not going to get to it now. Do you want to get to it?
Yeah, why don't we get to it? Sorry.
All right, what the hell?
It's Mr. Herkus, I guess. He used to use his dad's Twitter account. Now he's got his own, so welcome to Twitter. And he wanted to know our thoughts on Batista and when Batista was coming back.
Look, we're giving out everybody's email. What's yours?
Mine is Addie, A-D-D-I-E, at WeTalkWrestling.com.
And Twitter?
Addie underscore WTW. Or just at We Talk Wrestling.
Yeah, at We Talk Wrestling is the general show one, so questions are great there. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
Mr. Herkic,
the
son of former NHL
St. Louis
Tony Herkic? Is that
Herkus?
Herkic? You're Hercules? Were we talking about Hercules?
It's Herc.
Anyways, what are you saying?
Batista wants to know our thoughts on Batista and when we think Batista will be coming back.
Really, that's his question? That's interesting. Batista just got a movie role. It's for a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, he's got like a mohawk now.
Yeah, it's like he's I think third or fourth in the top or something. It's a role he really, really badly wanted. He's still pursuing that. Mixed martial arts, running a gym. He's not ever going to be a mixed martial arts fighter, but he practices it. He runs a gym. The thing about you have to keep in mind, he's not... Chris Jericho leaves and comes back because Chris Jericho, as much as they talk about the rock star and all this other stuff, his passion for wrestling was there from the time he was 10 years old, and it was still there when he's 20, and it's still there when he's 40 now.
Yeah.
He was always wanted to do this. Batista is somebody who was a bodybuilder, 375 pounds, a massive guy. Somebody saw him, thought he had a good look, made money. He got into it. He was good at it.
Mm-hmm.
He had an affinity for it. He had the right personality for it. He made a lot of money, but he didn't grow up loving the business and didn't leave loving the business. Will he come back? He said he would come back, from what I understand, if he could work with Undertaker or Triple H.
Or Hunter, yeah.
So
he's
I'm not,
not
sure.
Coming back.
Is he coming back? I wouldn't count on it. Should he come back? Maybe as a one-off, as a regular character? I'm not so sure. You got to keep in mind, even when he debuted, he was like mid to late 30s. He's not a young man either. He's probably
old.
Older than you think. Yeah.
So old.
Yeah, he's probably in his mid-40s now at least.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as well. So don't expect him back. Would I like to see him back? Yeah, I think the roster could use the depth and a spot for him. I definitely think, you know, I'd love to see him mentoring Mason Ryan, wouldn't you? Maybe not.
Maybe not. But I would have liked to seen Batista against Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Hell of a lot more than Randy Orton against Kane.
For sure, for sure. Absolutely. I would love to see him back, but I'm not expecting it.
I'd like to see him back as Leviathan, the Demon of the Deep.
Against the Prototype?
Yes, against the Prototype. Or Rico.
The YouTube video of Dave Batista versus Brock Lesnar and OVW is a fascinating piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. All they needed was to have a three-way dance with Ron H2O Waterman.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good God. What a train wreck. But, would I like to see Batista back? Like you said, for the depth, that would be good.
There's enough fresh matches of him now, I could see. I could hook up.
The
so.
Thing with Batista is that, there's fresh matches, but...
he's not an all-time great.
He's not, that's what I mean.
But he's good.
But to me, he's not a guy that can just pop in and out. He's not like The Rock, or Austin, or even Hunter.
Anybody who's a former world champion, promoted properly, can come in for one big match and push I Race up, not to the level of The Rock, but he can push him up some.
Well, I just don't see him as being a guy that could pop in, leave, and then come back again. And, you know, he might be able to do that once, but not
once or twice. Tops,
but,
yeah.
Like, I can't see Batista do that. I can't see JBL doing that. You know what I mean? I can't see those kind of guys. I wouldn't have been able, you know, I can't see Vader doing that. Or, you know, something
like that. So I know what you're saying.
It's just one of those. So I can't really, if he's coming back, he's
going to be coming
back. It's funny because
I kind of see him and his career being at the level of Ultimate Warrior. But Ultimate Warrior could have come back and done that at one point.
Yeah.
Of course he can't.
Well, Ultimate Warrior did do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at Batista a lot like I looked at Lex Luger.
Lex Luger
right?
is another good one.
And I don't, I just can't see it. Doing it, so to me, if he's coming back for like a run, like a 2-year deal, where
if he's coming back, and it would largely be for money. But like I said, I don't have the sense that he wants the money
the
or wants to pursue it.
Well, again, if acting gigs dry up, and one thing that Batista did, you know, he was in Evolution, and he learned a lot from, you know, mentored from Ric Flair.
Absolutely.
One of those things is how to spend money. So if those acting gigs dry up, he may very well be back.
But
so.
Also keep in mind that when he was wrestling there before, at that point in time, you weren't being suspended for smoking pot.
That's very true as well. That's very true. We're talking about Hunter. Did you see Hunter's new contract?
No.
Oh, Hunter got a new contract. It's in the financials, in the WWE financials. He got a new contract, 5-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up. It started in January 1st of 2012. And it started. His downside guarantee is $1 million as a performer.
So for those 3 matches a year?
180 dates a year is what he's contracted for. And
if
they go out more than that, they have to mutually agree. And
he's not doing 185.
And he's also not...
He's not doing 180 dates this year, nevertheless 5 years from now.
But he's also not allowed to do any mixed martial arts events while under contract to WWE. So that's
seriously.
That's too bad. Well, that's the standard.
That's standard. Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
so
it's $1 million downside guarantee for the next 5 years for Mr. Helmsley. So
that's good.
I just thought of that when we were talking
that's
about
good.
It. But anyway.
That's the same downside guarantee that D.H. Smith had, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, but D.H. had 170 dates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, although they used them for way less.
But and he left because he wasn't allowed to do martial arts. Mixed martial arts he couldn't do.
That's right.
That's what he's going to do now.
Well, they were going to use DH. He had the contract for 170 dates per year. But the problem they ran into is that superstars didn't air 170 times in a year.
Yeah.
So they're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus his nickname from his original steroid thing could have been HDH.
HDH. Nice.
You're
that
welcome.
That would be
on that, on OUT.
Is that what the cowboy hat was for? Well, Yes, I think that's it. We did our emails. Hopefully that answered the question. And, yeah, send us some more. As I said, it's at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter is probably the best way to send questions in, but we'd love to hear from you. It's WeTalkWrestling.podomatic.com. We'll get all the shows there, and you can subscribe there on iTunes as well, that they'll all just come right up when they're ready. So that is going to be it. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.